right, good morning. Grab your Bibles. Let's go. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is the second week of a small series that we are in on the subject of the Holy Spirit. You know, we had a little margin in our preaching calendar between here and Plano, and in light of Romans chapter 8 and our understanding of what Paul is introducing to the church, which is not just the work of God for us, but the work of God in us, then we wanted to do a little deep dive on the subject of the Holy Spirit. And last week, we kind of laid some foundational understanding of what the Holy Spirit does because of who the Holy Spirit is. And so we talked about that the Holy Spirit is prominent from beginning to end in the scriptures, whether that's the creation narrative or the coming of Christ, that we know that the Spirit of God is prominent throughout the Bible, that despite the temptation in the church to want to relegate the Holy Spirit to the forgotten God, we understand that the Holy Spirit of God is prominent throughout the Word of God. But not only is the Holy Spirit prominent, but he's a person, right? How do we know that? Well, the Bible says that he can be grieved by our sin, that he should be obeyed as God, and that he can be lied to when we attempt to keep things from a God who knows all things. We also said that the Holy Spirit is not just prominent and not just a person, but he was promised. That throughout the Old Testament, God promised that I'm actually going to put my spirit within you. I'm going to replace your heart of stone and grant to you a heart of flesh. And I'm going to live within you. And then ultimately, in Acts chapter 2, when the church was born, we saw that the Holy Spirit of God was provided. And the Holy Spirit serves as the fuel, as the empowering that enables the church of God to advance and accomplish the ministry and mission of God. And at the end of the day, we understand that living this John 10:10 life, right? Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you can have life and have it abundantly. If we want that abundant life, it is only going to be found by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Theologian J.I. Packer said this, I thought it was fascinating. The Christian's life in all its aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, is supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. And so today I want us to move beyond merely the understanding of the promise that God gives us in the Spirit, but I want us to be a people who truly embrace the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we would understand fully the miracle that God says, I'm not only going to come to be with you, I'm actually going to live within you. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that when God met with his people, he would tabernacle, but there was this whole system and setup that was required in order for God to meet with his people back then. But when Jesus came, those of us who have trusted in Christ and received the forgiveness of our sin, the Bible says that God now tabernacles in us, that the Holy Spirit of God desires to meet in with us. And this is the way in which we can actually fulfill what it is that God has entrusted to us, because too often we will be a people who strive in our own effort to try to live out this life that God has called us to, and we end up making a mess of things. I can remember when my kids were little, most especially Catherine and Coleman and Campbell, my little one. They loved to help their mom cook in the kitchen. And so Mary was always kind, and she would say, if they asked you, sure, you can help me cook. And so they would go put an apron on and get dressed and ready for the part. And Mary would start getting out ingredients and setting things on the counter. But she would have to go back and forth to the pantry and get other ingredients and then get into the fridge, get the milk or whatever it was based on what they were baking that day. Well, my little ones at that time couldn't see up over the counter. Right? So they would dress up and then they would get impatient and they would want to start helping mom right away so they could reach up above the counter, but they couldn't look up over the counter. And yet they would start taking the ingredients and just sweeping things around and making a huge mess. Until Mary got a stool that could elevate them so that they could actually work with her and do this great thing together. Well, church family, there's a lot of us who are dressing the part, but we're just making a mess because we failed to embrace the Spirit that elevates us to be able to do this work that God has entrusted to us. You with me? And so the Spirit's presence must be something that we as a people of God fully embrace, because if we're going to experience the supernatural work of God's Holy Spirit in our life and live this John 10-10 life that he has entrusted to us, then we've got to recognize the power of the presence that indwells within us. Because when we do so, it radically transforms how we're going to live. So in John chapter 14, this is actually the middle part of a discourse that's quite long between John 13 and John 17. Some scholars call this the farewell discourse of Christ. This little part we're going to study today is really the upper room discourse of Jesus. So you remember that Jesus gathered his disciples there in Jerusalem, readying for Passover in that upper room, and he's having this final conversation. This is when he institutes the Lord's Supper, and then he talks to the disciples about the Holy Spirit. And perhaps the clearest explanation of the work and role of the Holy Spirit that we have in the entirety of the Bible comes from the very words of Christ to the disciples at this critical juncture in time. So we're going to be in John 14 and in 15 and in 16, but we'll start in John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. John 14, 15, if you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Now, if you mark or highlight in your Bibles, I want you to underline both of these words, another helper. I want you to get both of them, and I'll talk about why here in just a moment. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, that's capital S, that's Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, Jesus is promising in this moment to his disciples that the very presence of God is going to be with them. The very presence of God is actually going to tabernacle in them. And this is significant because we're drawing a little bit on last week's teaching, but this is a picture, again, of the Trinity at display in the Scriptures, right? It's the Son, God the Son, Jesus, that requests the Spirit. It's the Father, God the Father, who sends the Spirit. And then obviously it's God the Spirit himself who comes to live within believers. So we see, yet again, God intimately, personally at work in our lives. And so today I just want to highlight a couple of big ideas about the Holy Spirit. Again, we're kind of building this theology of the Holy Spirit. And then we'll talk a little bit more in detail, because I always want to be practical and helpful about how those benefits or advantages of the Holy Spirit should be embraced in our life. So if you're a note taker, let me encourage you to write this down. The first big idea that I think Jesus communicates here is that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Like, okay, this is obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway. God is for you. And the great evidence of that is that he gives his Holy Spirit to you. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The ESV translation of this Greek word, paraclete, is helper. But some of your Bibles are going to translate it as counselor or advocate or comforter or the standby. This is one who comes alongside to aid or to call. In other words, the Holy Spirit is continually operating at a believer's side, standing by to help us by working in us. And I love the expression here of the word helper. It communicates such a tender a work of God, you know what I mean? Because there can be a temptation to want to think of God as distant and far away, and Jesus seems to describe the Spirit of God as being altogether near. I want to see if I can illustrate it for you, because I think there's a misunderstanding often in the church. And when it comes to Jesus' explanation of the Holy Spirit, I want to make sure that we get this right. So I'm going to ask my daughter, Campbell, if she would come to the stage and help me out. So Campbell, hustle up here to the stage if you would. Everybody help me welcome Campbell. This is my 7-year-old. Great job. All right. Okay, so sometimes, in regard to our understanding of God, we can see God. I'm going to have you just stand right here and look out at everybody. They don't bite. They do growl sometimes, but they won't bite. Sometimes we can think of God as only an authority. And an authority is out front, right? So always in front. Now, certainly God is an authority. He's never not an authority, but we think of him as only an authority. And an authority is just always over us, and sometimes we can think that he's far from us or there's a distance with us because we have chosen to only view God as an authority. And while he is an authority, Jesus seems to say he's more than just an authority. But other times we won't see him as an authority, but as a critic. And a critic seems to be behind us, and he's nipping at us. And some of you think that you know this gotcha God, and he's always waiting for you to mess up or fail so that he can coach or correct. Well, obviously, God is a critic. He brings about conviction and he brings about coaching, and that's a work and a role that is necessary in our broken life. But Jesus says that he's our helper, and a helper is at our side, right? And it's not that he isn't the authority, and it's not that he doesn't convict, but Jesus describes the God, the Holy Spirit, is at our side. He's with us. He's working through us. He's working in us. And when we embrace this role that God has chosen to play in our life, it will transform how we live it, if you can understand. Thank you, Cam. Everybody say, great job, Cam. And again, I want to remind you, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Okay, fam, listen, they're freaked out. They're freaked out because Jesus has only been their helper. Jesus has not just been their authority, and he's not just been their coach, but he's been their helper at their side. And that's why I had you underline that word, another. Okay, in the original language, this is a great word. It's the word allos. It means another, but another of the same kind. Unlike the other Greek word that is often used for another, which is heteros. That's the another, but of a different kind. And Jesus says, okay, listen, disciples, it's good for me to go because when I go, I'm going to ask and my Father's going to send and there's going to be another helper. And by the way, he's just like me. He's just like me. So in all the ways I came alongside of you and all the ways I have served with you, the Spirit of God will do the same. That's why, if you've ever been curious in reading your New Testament, oftentimes the Holy Spirit will be referred to as the Spirit of Christ. Have you ever wondered that? Like, why would interchangeably that word be used in conjunction with the Holy Spirit? Why would he often be called the Spirit of Christ? You ready? Allos. Because he is another helper, but another of the same kind. Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and subsequent glories. How about Galatians 4, 6? And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Another, but another of the same kind. Jesus says, here's why it's so significant, because you got to know that not only am I sending the Holy Spirit and he's going to be with you, but specifically at the end of verse 17, he said he's going to be in you. Again, that God is actually filling us, therefore working in us and through us. You know, the last several weeks has been back to school. And does anybody know when a parent with a little one, especially preschool or maybe early elementary, when a parent walks into school like this, does anybody know why? Yeah, you're giggling because you know they got a kid koala attached to their leg, right? And inevitably, there's a sweet preschool teacher who is having to peel that kid away. And the reason why these children get so attached is, and that the back to school can be such a stressor, is because they appreciate the significance of the presence of their parents in their lives. They understand this is safety, this is comfort. This is the one who I know will champion for me and love me and be with me and provide for me, right? Family, if you are in Christ Jesus, there's never a moment when the Spirit of God has to be removed. There's never a koala moment where the Spirit of God is taken away. There's no movement, there's no moment, there's no conversation, there's nothing done, there's no room you go into, there's no meeting you're about to have where the Spirit of God is not there. It's so important that we see this is the power of the presence, which leads me to the second big idea that I want to show, and then we'll talk about the advantages that come with that. Turn, if you would, just to the right a titch in chapter 16, okay, John chapter 16, and I want to show you in verses 5 through 7 the second big idea that I want us to grab onto beyond the fact that the Holy Spirit serves us as our helper. John chapter 16, and let's read in 5 through 7, and we'll see something else. Verse 5, but now I'm going to now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Okay, and it would fill ours too. Like if the last 3 years of our life had been turned upside down by the person of Jesus Christ, and everything we had ever known had then all of a sudden found significance through the person of Jesus Christ. We had followed this man around. We had seen him perform these miracles. He's calmed storms. He's made lame people walk. I mean, Jesus has done significant things, and he's done it with these disciples right at his side. By the way, we would be terrified too. And Jesus says, nevertheless, in light of your fear, in light of your paralyzing terror, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. If you mark or highlight in your Bible, circle that word advantage, and I'll explain in a moment why. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now think about this. The disciples had to have been thinking, what do you mean you're leaving? Like, things are getting tense, Jesus. What do you mean you're going away? Like, the religious people are following us around. They're trying to catch us in a bunch of traps. Everybody's after us. Where could you be going? Right? And Jesus says, hang on. It's better. It's for your advantage that I go. How significant must that be? And therefore, how significant must it be for us? That not only do we understand that the Holy Spirit is our helper, but we see this is the second big idea, that the Holy Spirit is for our advantage. He's for our advantage. Here's why Jesus would make such a bold statement. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Chapter 14, verse 17, Jesus speaks and says, you know him. You know him. He dwells with you. Jesus is like, hey, he's been alongside of us the entirety of my life here on earth. Remember the baptism of Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit descended upon Christ like a dove. It's not like this work that Christ has been leading these disciples to witness these last 3 years has been absent the power of the Spirit. But Jesus then says, but not only is he going to be with you, he's actually going to be in you, dwelling within you. This is a huge reality regarding God's internal presence for the believer. You see, obviously we understand that Jesus' human life, his life on earth, came with human limitations. Jesus couldn't be with his disciples everywhere all of the time, but the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit can be with every believer in every place all of the time. And so there's never a moment when we are separated from God. And how significant must it be that Jesus would say it's better for him to go? Because the Spirit of God dwells with all believers in all places at all time, which is why I am confident that the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling those of us who are in Christ in this room right now in Prosper, Texas, and likewise the brothers and sisters of faith that are in Bethlehem, Uganda at the Master Cares Christian School right now. Right there. Same Spirit. All places, in all believers, at all time. This is why I think John 14, 21 is so significant. Jesus actually says in that single verse that we will do greater works than he. Like, how is it possible that Jesus can say that we, the church, are going to do greater things than he unless the Spirit of God indwells us and empowers us to see them done? So that word advantage, it's a great word. We know about advantages, right? Like credit cards that give advantage miles and all these things, right? If you go to the movie theater and you spend $627, you get a small popcorn. We know about it. I'm not bitter at all. We know about it. We know about advantages, but I want us to be practical. I want us to give the balance of our time and let's lean in. And let's see what are these advantages. Because here's my fear. I think that if the Holy Spirit becomes the forgotten God, the neglected God, we excuse, we exaggerate, and we don't encounter him as God intends, then I think we'll shelve some of these advantages. I think we'll forfeit some of these blessings and benefits that the Spirit of God alone can provide. So let me just show you a few from the scriptures where Jesus has talked about the work of the Spirit. Number one is this: the Holy Spirit reveals truth. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. In verse 17 of John 14, he's referred to as the Spirit of truth. When you read down to verse 26, Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I love this because apparently, according to the Bible, the Spirit of God wants to teach us and reveal truth to us. And the primary mechanism by which it seems to be done is in His Word. That's why 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 would say, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Right? Like, not just some, not just my favorite verse, not just the stuff that's on the coffee cup. All Scripture, breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? That the man or woman of God may be competent and equipped for every good word. This is why in Peter's epistle to the church, he writes and explains the gift of the Scriptures. And he says that human authors were carried along by the Spirit as they wrote down what God would want His church to read. That word that Peter uses, it's a nautical term. It's like wind in the sails of a ship. This is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit at work in the preservation of God's Word. The Spirit of God reveals the truth of God, and He does so primarily through the Word of God. I'll say that again. The Spirit of God reveals the truth of God, and He does primarily so through the Word of God. So as you listen to a sermon, like right now, as you engage in life group and you open God's Word, or as you read your Bible alone in your quiet time with the Lord, do you understand that the Spirit of God within you is the exact same Holy Spirit that authored the Scriptures you're reading, you're hearing, and His desire is to teach you? So as believers, anytime we engage the Scriptures, we have the author who wrote them living inside of us, sitting next to us, wanting to teach us. I don't know how many of you have ever read C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, or maybe J.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, or J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter, any of these epic stories, right? Can you imagine if you're reading The Chronicles of Narnia and C.S. Lewis is sitting on the couch beside you? Like, that would be reading it different. When you're like, okay, hang on a second. Okay, what were you thinking when Aslan started to move? And he's like, all right, you're freaking me out a little, this fanboy. I get it. But nevertheless, he's right here, so you're talking to him. You're like, okay, what were you thinking when the wardrobe opened up and there was this entire world on the other side? Like, what was going through? Well, listen, fam, every time you open God's Word, the author wants to meet with you. He's sitting on the couch beside you wanting to teach you. So it's not unusual. It's not weird for you to go, okay, God, help me with this, because this is confusing. How can all things work together for good? Like, help me with that. How can you mean what you said in Philippians 1, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ? Like, help me. What work? What are you talking? Like, help me with this. Because the author who's given them wants to teach them, and that's reserved for His church. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. The second thing is the Holy Spirit gives guidance. He gives guidance. Again, John 16, 13, Jesus speaks and He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come. I love this because Jesus says the Spirit serves us as a guide on how we can walk in the truth. He wants to give us discernment. He wants to help with our direction. He wants to navigate our decisions. When Mary and I went to watch Coleman play football Friday night, he was playing in Fort Worth. And so immediately I got my phone out and put in the Waze app the address of that school. And as we started to get closer and closer to the stadium, I noticed that Waze was like sending me through a neighborhood. And I was like, this can't be right. Like, what are we doing? So it's like 600 feet, turn right, you know, except Mary's changed it to a boy band. And so it's like 600 feet, turn right, you know. But anyway, we're navigating through this neighborhood, okay? And I'm like, this cannot be right until we get on the other side. And then bam, Friday night lights. But how many of us that God is sending us in a direction and we're like, there's no way this is right. And we're arguing the entirety of the time. Only for us to get where we're supposed to go. And God's like, I had it, bro. Right? Because the Spirit is a guide for us. He's granting to us discernment. And the Bible says specifically, He guides us in all truth. All truth. This means that the Holy Spirit's guidance will always, 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 always be in line with God's Word. Okay, so listen, sometimes people are like, well, how do I know if it's of the Spirit? Well, the Spirit is never going to ask you to do something that contradicts what God's Word has made clear. Ever. He would not do that. And so when he guides us in, all, and I've told you, in counseling appointments, people are like, I just think that God wants me to be happy. And I'm like, I think you haven't read your Bible. Right? Because he wants to guide us in all truth. And in that truth, he's never going to call us to do something that God's Word specifically says we should not. And likewise, he won't ask us not to do something that God's Word specifically says we should. Right? He gives guidance. And I love this because oftentimes that guidance comes in the form of remembrance. Jesus says in John 14, 26, we read this a moment ago, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and the Father will send in my name. He's going to teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Perhaps even today you need to make a decision. Maybe other times in your life you've stopped down about that decision. You've prayed to God and all of a sudden a scripture will show up. And you're like, I don't remember reading that. But the Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit filed it away for this moment right then. This is how it works. I can't tell you how many times in counseling appointments I've been having a conversation, helping, trying to encourage or engage somebody who's wrestling with a decision or a season of struggle in their life, and all of a sudden a scripture will come to mind. And God just brings that to me. And I didn't commit it to memory intentionally, but God's Spirit knew that I needed it. I read it, filed it away, and brought it to memory at the right time. He's called the counselor for a reason. He desires to give us direction and lead us even in the smallest areas of our life, if we'll just ask him. I was meeting a friend for breakfast a couple of weeks ago at First Watch in Prosper, at the Gates of Prosper, and we got our lines crossed. So I'm sitting there in the booth and looking like, well, where are you? And so I finally texted him. He's like, bro, I had it for next week. I was like, it's fine. So I just drank coffee and studied. It was really good, actually. But the first few times the waitress had stopped by, we were just having small talk and she kept refilling my coffee. And very quickly, about the second or third time she stopped by and we chatted, I felt impressed that I was to give her all the cash I had in my wallet. And by the way, that's not like me. So it wasn't a lot of money, okay, because I'm on an allowance and Mary tells me how much I get every week. That's true. That I promise that's true. And so I just was like, okay, this is weird. Okay, so I immediately then texted Mary and said, hey, I'm going to need more allowance, and here's why. And my wife is super generous. Like, she just walks in that. So she's like, yes, I love it. And then that was a decision that God just said, this is what you're going to do. But then the balance of our conversation after the impression of the Spirit and the decision had been made, then I find out she's a single parent who's just moved here, leaving a very toxic relationship. And she's trying to help get her kids in school, and she's trying to get her legs underneath her. And she's navigating new state, new life. Right? How? I mean, I didn't know any of that. How could I? But the Spirit of God did. Right? And so he reveals truth and he guides us. I can't tell many times in the church I've had people that have had these spontaneous promptings of generosity, and I've watched God move and navigate those things for his glory and the good of his church. He is a guide. He reveals truth. And the third thing is he provides peace. Obviously that word paraclete that we read a moment ago, it can also mean comforter. That the Spirit of God comes alongside us when life is difficult, when we feel all alone. Some of you are here right now, you feel lonely today, but believer, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is here. He wants to provide peace. That's why if you ever read this verse in its context, it carries greater weight than without. John 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace. What peace? The paraclete, allos, a helper, but of the same kind. This peace I provide to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And remember the context. The disciples were shaking in their sandals. They were nervous because everything they had known was going to be turned upside down, because all of a sudden their rabbi, their teacher, their hero says, I got to go. But it's better because the Spirit is going to come. The presence of the Holy Spirit brings peace and confidence and allows our fears to diminish. This is a supernatural work, by the way. I witnessed it this week. Some of you know this great family. They have several boys that come with this single mom to church, and one of them is a 13-year-old boy named Titus, and he's very developmentally delayed, has severe special needs, and he's in a wheelchair. And so our family is very close to theirs for obvious reasons. And I love when Titus comes to worship with his mom. So he's usually sitting over there, maybe near Mark, or sometimes he's over here. He's on one of our aisles near Jacob. And so he comes in, and I love because Titus talks back to me. And so even when you're grouchy, he would always talk back. And last weekend, he caught pneumonia and declined very rapidly. And a week ago today, he went to heaven. And so on Monday afternoon, Mary and I went over and we sat down at the kitchen table with Becky, his mom, whose last 13 years and 10 months have been given over to taking care of this incredible child that God entrusted to them for a season. And she's sitting there, we're talking through the service and praying together about their loss, and she's got this supernatural sense of peace. I didn't. I mean, I immediately transferred myself into her shoes, you know, and I'm just wearing that. And she's just got this peace. It's not that she wasn't grief-stricken. It's not that she wasn't sad. It's that peace was winning. And then on Thursday afternoon, she asked me if I'd officiate the funeral. And so we're at First Baptist Church in McKinney. And we sang the song, "It Is Well." And man, it wasn't well for me. But I'm watching this mom on this front row with her hands open and her voice raised, and she is calling out to God and declaring, "It's well." In the midst of this tragedy, in the midst of all that is not, it's well for me. And how can that be said if it isn't for the supernatural peace that comes by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God? I saw it at a kitchen table and at a worship service this week. And that's the work, the advantage of the Holy Spirit, which leads me to the last one. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and advances his gospel. John 16:14, Jesus says, "He," that's the Holy Spirit, "will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and he'll declare it to you." Church family, ultimately, Jesus makes everything. I mean, the Holy Spirit makes everything about Jesus. He puts all the emphasis on Christ. If you ever want to know how is the Holy Spirit, how will I know if the Holy Spirit is involved? Is Jesus the hero of what's being done? Right? Like if you've been to a theater performance, you know that the actors and the actresses wear the costumes, but it's the production crew that's dressed in all black. The Holy Spirit is the production crew, and Jesus is always the star of the show. And the Holy Spirit works to exalt Christ. He doesn't work to elevate you or me. He doesn't work to elevate himself. He wants to make much of Jesus, which is why if you've ever come to church and you've had a bad morning or you've had a bad week and you got your hands in your pocket, anybody hear that, right? And all of a sudden you get in church and you're just struggling. It was all you could do to get here. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus. And you can't help it. You got to get your hands up out of your pants. You got to start raising your hands, lifting your voice. Why is that? Because that's the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, that's our guy. That's him. It's all about Jesus. Everything's for Jesus. Let's point people to Jesus." But that's the work of the Holy Spirit alive and active in his church. He advances the gospel and he glorifies the Son. That's why in John 15, 26 and 27, the Bible says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he'll bear witness," what? About me. Jesus says he's going to testify about me. Guess what? The Holy Spirit's got one sermon. It's the gospel, the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's on repeat. And it's what the Holy Spirit desires to preach. And what's amazing is that the Bible says he does this preaching primarily through believers. Look at what it says, John 16, 8 through 11. "And when he comes, he's going to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because he is the ruler of this world, is judged." And again, the context, Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit is coming to fill his disciples. He's saying that through the lives of believers, that's his church, that he's going to bring about conviction for unbelievers. It's going to convict them of their sin and their need to see the righteousness that is found in Christ, and that there is a judgment if they stay separated from God. I love this because, church family, it means that you and I don't do any of the saving. It's the Spirit of God that does the work of salvation. It's the Spirit of God that draws people. I'm going to preach. Our responsibility is to preach. Our responsibility is to share. But it'll be God alone who saves. You can't scare people into heaven. The Spirit draws. The Spirit saves. Our job is to share. And some of you don't share because you think you don't know enough. You think you don't have all of the answers, but can I just lovingly rebuke you by reminder that you have everything you need because the Spirit of God who preaches the sermon of the gospel lives within you. You got all the firepower you need. God's not getting an army in heaven of Billy Graham, Jack Graham, or Greg Laurie. He's looking for people like you who are willing to share, and he trusts that the Spirit is going to save. In fact, I believe he's going to do it right now. And so who is here in this room right now and you know you're separated from God by your sin? I don't know that, but the voice in your head right now is the Holy Spirit saying, that's me. And so the Bible says, if you will trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin and believe that he alone has done this work and risen victoriously from the grave, proving that he is God, the Bible says your sins are forgiven and you can have life everlasting with him. And so if you're here today and you think, man, I want that power. I want that John 10:10 stuff this dude keeps yelling about. I'm telling you, it does not happen until you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And in a moment, the Bible says you are sealed by his Holy Spirit. And so who is it in this room right now that needs to call out and say, God, I'm a sinner and I'm asking Jesus Christ to save me. I'm going to do the sharing. The Spirit will do the saving. All you have to do is respond. Others of you, you have a relationship with God that began many, many years ago. But maybe you're in a moment where you need God to reveal truth. You need the Spirit to reveal what is truth to you. You feel like you're in a relationship where there is something going on. There's a measure of dishonesty at your work, and you need God to reveal that which is true. Maybe you need guidance for a decision you need to make, for a direction you think you're supposed to go. Maybe you need peace. Maybe you need First Baptist, front row, funeral kind of peace. Or maybe you just need to recognize that the Spirit of God advances the gospel and glorifies the Son. And today is a day where you need to get your mind and your eyes and your heart's attention back on that which has the Holy Spirit's. Listen, think about this. We have something that is greater than Christ among us. We have the Spirit of Christ within us. And there's nothing, nothing that could be greater than that. And so if you're here today and you've made a decision, maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you just need to confess that you got saved just a moment ago. Maybe you want to join our church. This is an imperfect place full of imperfect people, but we worship and serve a perfect God and King. Would you join us? Right? Link arms with us and let's run hard after everything that God has entrusted to us. The best is ahead, but I'm calling you to obediently respond to whatever it is that God has said. Today, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Seriously, I thank you, God, that you love us so much and you knew it would not be good for us to be alone. And so you've sent your Spirit so we would never have to be. So Holy Spirit, invade this place. For whoever it is this morning that you have chosen to save, I pray that they would be obedient to respond. Father, I pray for those in this room who need the revelation of truth in their life. I pray for those in this room, God, who need the guidance that comes by your Spirit. I pray for those in this room who need peace in the midst of chaos and tragedy and difficulty all around. God, just draw near. Holy Spirit, provide that which you alone can give. We love you, and we ask this in faith, and we pray to you in Jesus' good name. Amen.